Croeso and welcome to Tales for Wales, the pod that never fails to say the truths that no one will say, to out the lizard pedo puppet masters pulling the strings from the shadows, to make Wales great again. Welcome to the only podcast that tells the truth, the only pod that can save you. Never, ever turn us off. Give us your money. That's basically all I could do.
I was thinking, where's he going with this? But I realised Truth Social, make Wales great again. Hence,
yeah,
that's what actually we should call this. Should we rename this episode Make Wales Great Again?
Make Wales Great Again. We got it to lean into the Mauer fans.
Yeah, the Mauer. The Muga.
Muga fans.
Muga. Yeah. We'll come to what the episode's about in a bit, shall we? We could just have a quick catch up if you fancy it.
Before we fucking, you know, sort the nonces from the... I can't think of a good analogy.
Nonces from the chaff.
Nonces from the chaff. Right? The wheat from the nonces. Nonce.
Is that anything?
Is that a thing? We can keep it nice and fluffy to begin with, can't we? Be nice about things.
Have a little. I was going to say as well, the gaming episode we did not long ago had loads of people commenting. So it's quite nice to know we got a big nerdy gamer in audience like ourselves.
Yeah, definitely.
But I didn't realize how many we missed. There was like so many people who messaged us saying, oh, you should have, you didn't mention this person, you didn't mention that person.
But you know, like a lot of people said about The Witcher. Like I knew about The Witcher stuff, but I was like, I don't know why I thought this, but I was like, oh, everyone knows about that. But of course they don't, because why would they? We have got, for those who are keen to hear more of that kind of genre of Wales, we are planning a sort of return to that
topic
soon.
A lot of people feed into it, so we thought we will come back with a little part two.
When the listeners do that, because it saves us so much work looking into things. It's just on our doorstep then.
I just took it through my notes here for some things we might not discuss before. And one of them was that you can't keep a secret. And and you get upset when we say, we often call Jack loose lips. We always say anything he says, we'll come back to his girlfriend or his wife now. But if we'd have said something, you could. He was like that. Who were those wags who had that big argument on Twitter?
Rebecca Vardy and Colleen Rooney.
Yeah, because you could guarantee I could send a rumor. I could say it to you, and it could get back to the rest of the gang.
I'm the original Wagatha Christie over here.
I remember one time we said it to you, and you were getting really annoyed, and our mate Andy was laughing so much, and he couldn't stop laughing because someone said, I don't gossip. I only reveal truth. That's what you said. It's so poetic. I don't tell gossip. I only reveal truths.
Am I to be tarred and feathers for revealing truths to my fellow brethren?
Like you're Edward Snowden. Some big things.
You can't extradite me. I was just telling the truth.
Is it a crime to reveal the truth now?
As I've mentioned before, if someone swears me to secrecy, I keep it a secret. But if you don't say those magic words, that's fair game, mate. And say that to whoever I want. I post that on fucking
socials. Didn't one of your friends say, oh no, I won't say that actually. That'll be too revealing.
We can edit it out, but what were you going to say?
Heidely ho, neighborinos!
Oh, he didn't say don't tell anyone. And also, that was way too juicy to not tell.
We should beep out the name there, but keep that in.
As I say, if you'd asked me not to say it, I wouldn't have said it. But that would have been a hard one. That would have been a hard one on today.
My Ollie came down at the weekend, and we... Ollie's quite posh, and he lives in England. And we were in an Airbnb, and... someone cycled past the Airbnb we were staying in, and it was like a mum with her kid on the bike, and we gotta go get mommy's fags. And Ollie was like, I fucking love Wales. That stuff you hear quite a lot, but it's quite
jarring. You wouldn't bat an eyelid at that, would you?
All right, gotta go get mummy's fags, innit? Then I'll take you somewhere.
I love that. Yeah. Oh, little day trip down to the pier today, is it? But not God, before Mummy's fags.
You know Mummy needs her fags, like. It did make me laugh.
Brilliant. Sorry. Fantastic. Oh, well, I'm sure you were there saying, listen, Ollie, this isn't a cross section of the entirety of Wales. But then you probably went, you know what, I do see it a lot.
But I was going to say, it's a sentence I hear, you know, I didn't really register with me until Ollie was like, what did that lady just say? I was like, oh yeah, I suppose that is a bit mad.
Oh man, I've been walking home. I remember being in my like home village before walking back from the shop to my mum's and going through this. It's like a little cut through. And I've been there, and there's been like a murmur, you know, walking with their kids, saying like shouting at them and being like, "Oh, can you not be a cunt for 5 minutes and stuff like that?" And like, and I'm just there with my fucking box of Stella, like, "Oh, I'll just mind my own business. I don't want to be shouted at." As well.
I remember one time we were walking through that little alleyway to get to the shops there, and a bunch of kids started on us, and I think one of your mum's boyfriend at the time grabbed one of the kids and threw him against the wall. And I thought,
I said in the last episode, mate, it's a dog eat dog world. It's rules of the jungle in St. Athan, mate.
Yeah, did you know when you were younger, alleyways were a lot bigger of a threat than they are now. Well, I suppose I don't go down as many, but when I used to get off the train and go back to my mum's house, I had to go through an alleyway. And I used to always think, I'm going to get battered here.
Is
so
that the
often,
one under Dinner Station?
Well, that's one of them. Cause
that's
that was
a scary
always,
one, to be fair.
I would
rate that fucking top five scariest alleyways, that's what I'd say.
One time there was a bunch of kids under there, and me and my friend and my other friend were like, all right, we'll all run on three and just try our best not to, like, just to make it through. And we all ran through. These kids just punched us in the head as we ran through. And then we all came up to the other end. We were like, oh, thank God we made it. All right, on with our day. And it was just like a normal thing to experience.
The kids standing in the fucking alleyway or the underpass going like, you know what this is, right? You do your best to get out the other end. We do our best to kick your head
in. Do not fall. That's the only thing you can pray for.
Leave no man behind. Yeah, we're scary. And they could be scary.
But they're not, I don't know, I don't see myself going down alleyways anymore. You kind of grow out of the alleyway phase, don't you?
The alleyway phase. I remember in uni, there was an alley that it was the much quicker way to the train station. I went to the Atrium in Cardiff, and there's a really quick cut through this alley to Queen Street train station. Otherwise, you've got to go round. It's a bit of a pain in the ass. And it was commonly known, colloquially known as Rape Alley, right? God. And I don't know if that was because of something horrible that happened there or whatever, but it was just very dimly lit, you know what I mean? And night, it was pitch black down there. And I remember one time we finished in the union, I was walking back to the train station with the girls on my course, and I just instinctively turned down the alley because it's quicker. And she was like, oh, I'm not going down there. And I realized how stupid this was, a question to ask now, like going like, why not? Like, why don't you want to go down the place called Rape Alley in the middle of the night? What's going on? But like, maybe the alley phase stays for women. We get over it.
Maybe that's true. Maybe it stays a horrifying. Well, that actually takes us onto our episode of how we can improve Wales, because this episode is kind of tying in with the elections, which might be over by the time this comes out. Maybe we could rearrange the episodes so this comes out.
Yeah, we might rejig it so it's timely.
Yeah, we could try and do that. But we're trying to like cover what our experiences was like growing up in Wales and living in Wales and what we would do to improve it. So, and I think everybody wants to hear from two straight 30-year-old white guys. I think we haven't had a platform.
The straight white male voice has been drowned out for too long, if you ask me. Okay.
I think we got an idea how to fix things around here.
I think if you guys all just shut up for a second and let that straight white man talk, maybe we could get a few things solved.
You know the guys who've been in charge for ages and they fucked everything up? Well, I think we've got an idea or two.
How about you give us another go?
Why are we doing this? We're idiots. But I'm going to say, my ideas are so fucking hippy-dippy left-wing that it's going to make anyone, it's even left-wing people annoyed. It's so out.
You're going to be Oprah. You yeah. get a million quid. You get a million quid. You yeah, get a million quid.
It's pretty much that. And I justify yeah. every other thing by saying, well, if you're going to fund a war, you can fund...
That's kind of I've got... One of my stupid ones is quite has got a similar backing to that as well. Yeah. Like, yeah.
yeah.
Well, do you want to go first? You can. Yeah. I've got one serious one that I've actually thought through and done some research into.
Yeah.
And then one kind of stupid one, I guess. And then kind of some quick fire ones. But
okay. Should I tell you how I've done mine? I've done a serious one, and then I've done. How to make Welsh more accessible to people. And then I've done politics. And then I've done how to get Wales more prominence on the world stage. So I've kind of broken it into little sections. So should we start with our serious ones first to give this a bit of oomph and heft?
Or like, credibility.
Yeah, a bit of credibility because we just discussed Rape Alley and a bit of crap chat to start the pod off.
So some people might have turned off already, but if you're still with us, this is the real thing now. Yeah.
Maybe we edit a bit of this intro. So how would you improve Wales? My first one, right, was discussing universal credit. So Wales is the poorest country in the UK, and it's one of the poorest regions in Europe. And had Wales kept the money that the land and the people were ravaged of during the coal boom, we'd all be so much richer. Like when Wales was producing coal, you know, it was producing so much coal that the world was needed. It was growing at the same, Merthyr Tydfil was growing at the same rate as New York City. Mm. Like it was so much money was coming from here and none of it stayed here. All got siphoned off to England.
It was called a boom for a reason. Exactly.
Yeah, but none of that boom stayed here. Whereas in like Scranton and other like steel and coal industries in America, the money stayed there and the places around there were, like overflow to the local community, whereas here those communities are the poorest in Europe still now and they got nothing at the time, and you know the land was ravaged, the people were ravaged. So as remuneration for the past crimes, universal credit should be paid for everyone in Wales by the aristocrats in England who have to pay for this universal credit to make sure taxes don't rise for everyone else. And it's not fair, but I don't care. So And following on from that, Welsh Gov have a scheme for those leaving care. So anyone who's 18 years of age, it started off between July 1st, 2022 and June 30th, 2023, they provided everyone who left care with a monthly payment of £1,600. And so even if they had a job, so after tax was like £1,200. Even if you had a job, you still had that money, and people would be like, "Well, that's so unfair. I didn't have that much when I was turned 18." But if you have like any network of support, so when you leave care, you're just on your own. You're completely on your own. I used to work in the care
sector.
You're gone,
mate. Yeah, you got absolutely nothing.
Had I left care at 18 years old and just had to fend for myself, I would have been a drug addict or dead. And loads of children leaving care are in. That's what happened to them. And in the case of the young women, it's worse. And it's like, you know, it's think around you, all the networks of support you have. So if you don't have parents and you haven't got siblings, you might have grandparents or you might have uncles and aunties. And there's often, and most of us have a network of support. Yeah. People who leave care who don't have that just have to be an adult at 18. And it's so tough. So to get that little bit of support, then financial support, let alone, you know, you still miss out on the emotional and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. But just enough money to put a fucking roof over your head and some food.
Yeah,
in the
and not to be you so know, scared about paycheck to paycheck. You don't have to, like, risk all the other things that come with risking if you don't have that network. Because, in general, most of people in Wales, Wales is the poorest nation in the UK. If everyone in Wales had a universal income and still worked, people are going to think this is really over the top wackiness.
No, mate, I'm a huge proponent of UBI, the old universal basic income. I don't see why. I think, and we've talked about this before, you're not fucking, we're the only species on this planet that has to work to exist.
Yeah.
Everyone else just gets to live. And like with all this AI stuff coming out now, I don't know if you've seen it going around. There's a post by some woman who went like, I want robots to like do my laundry, to do my dishes while I create art and like indulge in creativity. Yeah. I don't want AI to do all the painting and the fucking music writing and all that while I still do my dishes and my fucking and my laundry. Yeah. You know, and I don't see why. Like we're such a technological apex.
Yeah.
at the moment. Get the fucking robots to do any of the things that are just things. They don't have any consciousness or anything. Get them to do all the hard, boring shit that no one wants to do. And then we can all just indulge in, like, lovely creativity.
But so people leaving care in Wales already get this financial support. But I don't think it should just be children leaving care. Like, there's around 30% of children in Wales live in poverty already. So that's a huge amount. That's like a disgusting amount. That's 3 in every 10 almost a live third, in poverty. Yeah. And 26% of that, so just a quarter, living with families who are working. So it's not like these people are just, they got kids who are on benefits. So out of the 30, only 4% of those are on benefits. The other 20, so the rest of those children who are in poverty, their families are in working households. So if your parents go to work and you're still in poverty, then that's completely unfair.
It's wrong, yeah.
If we can afford wars abroad, we should be able to afford to feed children at home. And it's like a national disgrace that people who are working parents have children in poverty. And Wales is the worst for it. So I just think that's everyone should be able to get a certain amount of money, and then they can still do their stuff. But, you know, they could be more creative with the jobs they want to do and do things they actually care about. And I know it's hippy dippy, but why not be hippy dippy? We've had fucking years of austerity, and how shit is the world now? So why not let people live and be better and have a happier life? And just
the thing is, if you have that money coming in, that's like your safety net, so to speak.
Yeah,
you're not as stressed. Your mental health's better. You know, that's a better home life for kids as well, instead of having a parent or parents that are working their asses off, like, full-time and still not making ends meet and stressing and all that, you know. And like you said, it eliminates that need to be like, right, I've got to spend every waking hour of mine earning money just to fucking tread water, you know.
Parents who don't get to see their children because they're working all the time, and they have to, most of that money goes into childcare. I just think we've got it wrong. Like, it doesn't work. The system's broken, and the system isn't working because so many children in Wales are in poverty. So this doesn't work. Mm. Let's try something different. And I know Tories will fucking hate it, but fuck them. This is my podcast. So I'm going to spout off what I want to.
I remember when we first started this anti-Tory rhetoric, occasionally we go, ooh, should we be saying that? Because of that. And then we went, actually, this is our fucking podcast. I don't give a shit.
I don't give a shit. Exactly. And I do feel everyone that even, so for Labour to win this election, they're going to need a bigger swing than that they had in 1997. They have to turn places that have like a 20,000, 10,000, 50,000 majority of Tories. Like, it's never... So when this comes out, we might know it if it's happened. But that's not happened before. But that's because so many people are now pissed off with them. It's taken 14 years, but people are so pissed off with the way their politics is.
14 years of absolute shite. It's just, hopefully, it's finally the pendulum is swinging the other way.
Wish more of the big players hadn't quit, so it'd be really humiliating for them when they lose their seats. But anyway, and so that was my first thing. Everyone should get universal credit, and we could fund it by taxing the aristocracy who benefited, because there'd be so many families who don't live in Wales who benefited from Merthyr, from Llanelli, from Tonopandy, all those places.
And those people would have put money into fucking stocks and shares and banks and whatever that would have gained so much interest over since then from now. That could pay for it 10 times over, I reckon. Yeah.
Anyone who has old money, it means it's not money they've earned. So that's my first one. What's yours?
So I'll do my serious one first now. We'll do double serious and then we can do double silly. So this is one I felt, I've thought about this for ages. My father-in-law, every time me and him are together, he likes a beer as well. You put one beer with us. If you just drop into the conversation how water is the oil of Wales, my God, we'll chew your ear off all night long about it. But as many people know, it rains a lot in Wales. Yeah. That's where we get the majority of our water from. You might not know that in England, they get their primary water sources from groundwater sources, whereas in Wales, we get it from the rain. So it's surface water. So when it rains a shitload in Wales. It fills up some of our 91 reservoirs that we've got dotted around the country. And that's where we take our water from. And I didn't know this. This blew my mind. I know it's fucking rainy here. But you know, for every 7 days in Wales, on average, 5 of them are raining. Jesus, 5 of them are rainy days. Yeah, that's how much it rains in this fucking country. So yeah, we got lots of water. Now, currently, I'm sure you know this, Franco, but for those who don't, the Welsh Parliament and government, they don't have control over cross-border regulation of water, so between Wales and England. So just last year, for example, when the entire UK was going through drought, England were considering pumping water out of Wales into England to maintain supply in England, despite Wales being in drought as well. Like, I'm all for our home nations like helping each other out when we can, but and that'd be one thing if it was pissing it down in Wales, but you know, like a fucking Sahara in England. But it wasn't. We were all in drought at the same time, and they were still thinking, because we don't have control of that, there's nothing stopping English water companies taking pumping water out of Wales to supply England. And we had
the thing. It's the lack of I'm sure Wales would always help, but it's the taking the means away of our own regulation. If you say, well, we'll just take
taking
it.
The choice, isn't it? You know, like, I have no doubt that Westminster wouldn't give a fuck if people didn't have clean drinking water ever over here, as long as people in England did. But yeah, we were having hosepipe bans last year and all that. You know, we were just in just as bad drought, and the fact that they could just take it is not cool, in my opinion. But anyway, so a bit of background for those who don't know. Wales has two water companies. We've got Dwr Cymru, or Welsh Water, in English, and then we've got Hafren and Dyfrdwy, and Dwr Cymru is the much larger of the two companies. Companies in England, like United Utilities and Severn Trent Water, rather, they have licenses to take water from Welsh companies, or from Wales. For example, around 320 million litres a day are pumped from the Elan Valley in Wales to Severn Trent Water to supply people in Birmingham. United Utilities, they are allowed to take 252 million litres a day from Lake Vyrnwy to supply people in Liverpool, Cheshire, and sometimes Manchester. And I personally think natural resources should be publicly owned. I don't like, especially with like the English companies, for example, Severn Trent Water and United Utilities, they're owned by not just private companies, but like foreign private companies.
Well, that's the thing.
They don't care, you know.
They export 243 billion litres, because I actually had this on mine for my politics one, but there's 243 billion litres of water is annually exported from Wales. But Severn Trent Water, who, like you said, they own some reservoirs in Mid Wales, they sell Welsh water for around £1 billion a year profit. And that's just one company, and that's not their stuff.
It's not theirs. It's not theirs. And we touched on this in our Treweryn video, where you know they flooded Treweryn, that went to Liverpool, and then Liverpool didn't even use the water; they sold it. Internationally, it's the same sort of reason I don't like all this stuff. So Dwr Cymru, for example, is a not for profit company. It doesn't have shareholders. So then it doesn't feel the need to enrich shareholders by like gouging prices or
and cutting corners,
cost cutting and all that sort of stuff.
Or
right?
Sewage launch, and,
yeah. And don't get me wrong, they're not doing a great job at all. But at least I read about them and they're doing
it's you're a bit more sympathetic, than aren't you?
Yeah, not... because like the CEO, for example, last year he refused his bonus because of what a shocking job they've been doing. Like, how often do you see that? Like, it was kind of refreshing, even though they're doing a shit job. That is something, at least, I think, you know, I respect it a little bit. But anyway, I digress. The point I was trying to make was, while the level of water we pump over to England varies from year to year, I got this thing from this figure from Welsh Gov. On average, England gets around 300 million cubic meters of water from us per year, which is 300 billion liters. And English water companies, they do pay us for this. They pay to maintain our infrastructure and all that. They pay £2.5 million a year, which sounds like a lot of money, but it works out at 0.000008 pence a litre, which means we get 8 pence per 100,000 litres.
And it's meant to be like 2p a litre or something similar.
Well, no. I was just saying that it's a really shit deal, because the market rate for a cubic metre of water around the world, this is averaging now, is about £1.60. For a cubic meter of water. So for 1,000 liters of water, £1.60. So even if we just charged England the flat market rate, the average market rate rather, that would put an extra £480 million into Wales every year. And the only reason I can see why we're not allowed to do that is basically because the English government doesn't feel they should have to pay us for it.
Yeah.
Like, they just feel like it's taking more resources. Yeah.
It's when they say, like, Wales, like, but whenever they try and pretend that Wales is, like, the pariah, it's like, you've taken from this country for centuries and never, like, remunerated it properly. And it's, this is the next one. Like you said, water is, and water's going to become more and more valuable as things get hotter and stuff.
Yeah, as the climate crisis increases and everything. So, yeah, that's my thing, is we should start bloody charging a proper price for this water, because, like you said, there's companies that sell it abroad that make fucking loads of money out of it. And it's, I don't want to get into, like, I don't want it to be like a it's us and them thing. I hate that kind of divisive thing.
Yeah, but this is how you'd make improve Wales, but yeah, sometimes it does.
And like, and you know full well that the English government, the Westminster, they wouldn't have another country do this to them, would they?
That's so true. Yeah, I said that to my friend the other day. I said, if you were English, and everyone in Scotland and Wales voted to leave the European Union, but everyone in England voted to stay, they wouldn't put up with that. You know, the anger they'd be feeling, because everyone in Scotland voted to leave. Everyone in Scotland voted to remain, and they have to leave because of what Wales and England chose. It's just not on. So you'd fund it through water. I'd also
plug a big gap. You know, I think that's 480 million a year is no small change, is it? You know, that could be pumped into all sorts of things in Wales.
I'd also fund it through offshore wind and green energy,
100%.
And then from there, I'd take back all the land that the Crown Estate owns. So people aren't aware, the Crown Estate own loads of land in Wales and in the UK. They own more land than anyone in the world, I think. I don't know how much money they make from it. And they, in Scotland, because during the Yes referendum, one of the rules was if they vote to remain, they get in charge of the Crown Estate. So all the money that the Crown make goes back to their treasury. Mm. In this country, all the money they make from Wales goes to the treasury, but it goes back to the treasury that funds their lifestyle and their security and their upkeep. So they say it goes back to the treasury. It goes back to the treasury that then diverses into the coffers of the royal family. So
it just looks after them. Yeah.
It just looks after them. So that tax goes back to them and keeps funding them. So, I'd take back all the land from the Crown Estate, which is around £853 million a year in Wales. The breakdown of the property group values were as follows. So offshore wind, they have 793, and marine energy. So they own all the seabeds and the offshore winds in Wales. And that's 793 million. They own things on the coast, which is 21 million. They own the minerals, 21 million. The cables and interconnectors and rural agriculture and things like that is like 16 million. So if all that was devolved in Scotland, I say they get that themselves. In Wales, we don't. That's £853 million a year, which we could get back if we were to give a nit from them.
But we're not allowed it.
Yeah. We're not allowed So if you include the investment in offshore and green energy and include the 3 billion litres of water we export, that's so much money for a small country of only 3 million people that could be coming back in to support in Wales. So that's just
definitely
piggybacking on the back of your
I was going to say, as part of my the water one as well, like water energy, like hydroelectric, like why aren't
they've been trying to do that in Swansea for so long, and it's been stalled so
long. Yeah, and I generally think it's because don't get me wrong, there's some issues with like the biodiversity and shit like that in Welsh Gov, but it's because it would move everything away from fossil fuels like that.
Yeah,
and the thing is as well, though, we already produce twice as much electricity as we actually use, and that's another thing that gets exported next door.
We're the second best country in the entire world for recycling. So Wales, we held it again this year,
green in certain aspects, but then we're also like, our rivers are like in fucking
our rivers are filthy, but as in for household recycling, Wales has consistently been in the top, and for the last few years it's been second. Germany was first for five
for years, haven't we? And then we just bumped up to two, I think, recently.
This year, I think, and we've been two before, where Germany was first and we were second, and now Germany been knocked off, and they've dropped off quite a lot, and we're still second. So, you know, we're a conscious green country, and we could be using so much green energy if we were allowed to, but we got fucking shackled by old Rishi Dishis, hopefully on his way out.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
But Keir won't change anything either. So anyway, Go on. I don't get too political.
Go on. Yeah, go on. Let's lighten it up with a funny one now.
Okay, so I won't do a mega funny one. I'm going to just do another slightly. No, I won't. Let's do light and shade. So for politics, I would. I don't want to exclude anybody because I know we have a breadth of listeners, and some will be more right wing, and some will be left wing and centre, blah 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 blah, and some people won't care at all. But there are certain people in politics who I detest, who I think are a stain on Wales, and they are all conservative. And not all conservative.
Shock.
These
this is going to blow your mind, guys. This is going to blow your mind.
Three Welsh conservatives who I do think are morally bankrupt and bad people. Mm. I think you could be a conservative. So, like, there are definitely conservatives who are so in line with my morals, my own morals. Mm. And I think, you know, and it'd be crazy to think, well, just because you're a Tory, I don't like you. That's not it at all. I'm not Labour. I don't dislike Labour. But I don't dislike Tory.
Everyone has a different perspective on what they think can improve the country.
I do think Alan Cairns, Andrew Arty Davis, and David TC Davis are bad people. So another way, I'm trying to think of how you'd fund an independent or how you'd fund money to go back into Wales to improve Wales. And I think if you ship off Alan Cairns, Andrew Arty Davis, and David T. Davis to Skomer Island and we film it. we film it and
we get like Bear Grylls the Island.
It is Bear Grylls the Island, and then we get loads of revenue because people are going to watch it because they'll turn on each other so fucking quick.
I'd be tuning in the moment that came on telly.
I reckon Andrew Arty Davis, big ruddy fakes gammon, he'd be eating all their rations secretly, so he'd be there stomping away, causing camp until
Andrew. We're going to go try and hunt some puffins. Can you just look after all the emergency Mars bars we've got? He comes back. What Mars bars?
Chocolate big pig came in. Alan Cairns is like a weasel of a man. We'd be trying to you know, he's less of a weasel. He's a bad person. Like he had someone on his team who threw a purposely ruined a witness's statement during a rape trial, and like his aide, that was his aide, and he defended his aide, like a truly bad person. He would be trying to like plot some fucking backstabbing over, like, you know, he'd try and take control of all the other ones and try and take charge,
but he'd be a weasel about it, wouldn't he? Weasel.
And then David TC Davis, who's the Secretary of State for Wales, who is the biggest worm, who literally will do anything to stay in power. If you ever listen to the rest of his politics thingy, whenever they mention Wales, they mention him, they're just like, oh, he will just be a turncoat for who, wherever the wind is going, he'll do anything to stay slightly remorseless. Like,
you know, there was one joke that fucks me off more than someone like that who is just has no spine whatsoever. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I'm the most fucking principled person in the world or whatever, but there's certain lines that you wouldn't cross. But absolutely someone who would just do anything, absolutely anything, as long as like someone a bit more powerful than him.
So I just picture him on this island, Andrew eating all the food, Alan always trying to like be some like cruel leader, and then David T. Davis like flopping either side. Whoever's winning that day, he'll be behind the going, yeah, you better listen to him, guys. You better watch
him. Absolutely a Grima worm tongue to both of them, like scuttling between one and the other.
I don't even think he's that clever. I think he's more just, he's just like such a little grub. He's
sycophant,
like
a fantasy.
Yeah, and he'll just hang to everything's in power. But I think that'd be really good telly. And I think that would be brilliant. Run adverts on it to reinvest into Wales for all the damage they've done.
Absolutely. You could make a mint out of that. And then you take them off and go, sorry, mate, we're picking you up now. And then you put them in the boat. And then you just drive round the other side of Skomer Island, drop them off again, season two. And then they go, what? This isn't fair. There we go. That's our opening episode.
Yes. Easy peasy. I like it. So what's your silly one?
Right. So this is a cause very close to my heart, and it is the bring back the £10 all you can drink nights that they used to have in Jumping Jacks. All right, so we've mentioned this a few times on the pod before, but for those who maybe have missed it, back in the day, Cardiff was home to a dingy little club called Jumping Jacks, And for the bargain price of 10 British pounds, you could get into said club and you could drink literally as much as you wanted. And when I tell certain people this, normally younger people are like, I know my younger brother ages or something like that. They don't believe that it actually meant, or you could drink. You could literally sit at the bar, down
right,
it,
and you kept your
get
cup.
Another one. Exactly. That was what I was just about to mention. You got your cup when you came in, and if you lost your cup, tough shit. You had to pay another 10 quid. But
people often leave the cups around, so you could
easily pike them. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But that, do you remember when they put up the price to £12.50 or something like very reasonable at like that? And we were like, this is a joke. We said, this country's gone to the dogs.
We were about 17 when we did that. It would be £10 to get in. We'd catch a train in where we wouldn't pay for the train, and we could often get past the turnstile without paying for the turnstile. Mm. So no train fare on the way in. £10 for the train. £5 or £2.50 for a double cheeseburger from McDonald's, and then we'd all chip in £2.50 for the taxi, and you could do town for 15 quid.
That was great.
Booze up all night, drink at my house, man, before going in.
Yeah, a couple of cans at yours before we went in.
Yeah.
Train in that we wouldn't pay for, because there was a little trick you used to be able to do down in Cardiff Central where if you got in
go
the lift,
the escalator,
I went to
the
bottom
lift, sorry.
Floor.
Yeah.
Went in the lift and went to the bottom floor.
Yeah.
And you could go out and there was no
there's
no barriers.
That's so mad from them.
Such terrible design. I don't know why. I like to think like the guys who were running fucking Arriva at the time, the train company, were going, how is this happening? We're losing so many fares. I just don't care. Like, so easy. But those are the days, man. £10, get in, get as much booze as you want, and then all chuck in £2.50 for the taxi at the end of the night. Lovely stuff.
Yeah, all stay at my mum's house, all in the back room together, the beer room.
It was great. But there was places up and down the country that did nights like that. Jumpin' Jacks. Do you remember Jumpin' Jacks also had Naked Tuesdays?
I do, yeah.
And whoever got...
First gender to get naked, that their gender got to drink free all night.
Got free drinks.
Or like half drinks. Or buy one, get them free.
Oh, they'd have a bloody hard time these days, wouldn't they, with all the gin.
That could be a good joke, maybe, if you're thinking about it.
Yeah, if I really thought about it. Yeah, yeah. I was thinking, gender, current events, Jumping Jacks, Naked Tuesdays, how do I make this work? But anyway,
Jumping Jacks were not ready for progressive views on gender. They were going to
be stumped. No, very much, no. They were very much a binary kind of club. But yeah, I never went on a Naked Tuesday. Funny enough, I don't know who's going Tuesday night, let's go out and get fucking
I think
howling.
It was more for students, and we were too young to be students. Yeah. But even then, I thought, is this on? It doesn't quite feel on. It just always felt really quite grubby. Yeah. I think guys would be like more than happy not to to pay for their drinks all night, so they got to see some poor drunk person.
Some titties, man. Yeah, Jumpin' Jacks, though... did you know that the Jumpin' Jacks was open for 10 years?
Wow.
Like, I thought, if I was to hazard a guess, I would say maybe it was around for about 5 years.
Well,
we
probably got there when it was halfway through its stint. So we probably
I think that's what it is. I just experienced like its 5 year.
We were like 17, and we used to go with my brother would sometimes be there, who's a bit older, and our mate Ryan was there, who's quite a big guy, but there was quite a lot of fights we'd have in there. And it was and as 17, it was like fighting adults. It's
a bit
tense.
Mad, isn't it? Yeah.
I remember I got off with a girl there once who's about like 20, she was probably about 37, and she looked like the footballer Kevin Keegan. And she was
nice. Yeah. I remember I got off with a girl there, and I'd never kissed a smoker before. Oh, God, it was horrible. I kept at it, though. Kept at it, though. The fucking soldier that I am. So, the whole reason I put this on the list is because I think Wales could be a beacon to the rest of the UK. Will it solve the cost of living crisis? No, of course it won't. But
will it exacerbate our drinking problems? Of course it will.
Of course it will.
Are we going to make a laugh?
I can pop into town and drink my fill for a tenner to numb myself from the world's problems. That'd be on a Friday night. That'd be a huge value to me, and also to others, I reckon.
I think. You know,
they'll be over in England moaning about fucking £6 pints, like I've done many, many a time.
Then we'll bring in tourism.
Yeah, we'll be living
the
at
worst kind
Cymru.
Of tourism.
supping back on unlimited fucking sex in the pools. That's when they used to do back in the day, I recall. And I used to think it was cool to... I'm not having a sex on the beach. I'm having a sex in the pool.
What, is that a drink? And
Yeah. It was... I can't remember what it was, but it was blue. I remember it was blue instead of, like, orange. But yeah, and as for how could bars afford this, I don't really know how they afforded it back then, to be honest, back in the noughties.
It's a lot sleeper.
Yeah, let alone now. But... you know, we subsidise loads of shit already with our taxes. So, you know, money scrounging fucking...
The farm industry.
Rail companies, energy companies. Yeah. You know, why not subsidise the £10 all you can drink nights on a Friday? I think the nation's mental health would peak, and I reckon, you know, we'd be there. We'd be there every Friday. And I think most people would be, you know, if you had any sense about you. So bring back the £10 all you can drink nights. That's my... basically catch all to make Wales better.
So my words, next one, to make Welsh more accessible, we've got to get rid of any pomp or snobbery or exclusivity that makes some people like, you know, they might look down and mock the way other people use the language or speak the language.
Yes, I've got this on my list as well, actually.
It's very easy if you come from a Welsh-speaking background with a Welsh-speaking family in a Welsh-speaking area, to be able to thrive speaking it. Or not thrive, but to be able to use it. But people who don't come from, like me and you, for example, when we went to places, like we've said this a bunch of times, but when you went to places like Aberystwyth, you'd sometimes get caught with like a real exclusivity that made the language unappealing and self-righteous and self-contained, and it wasn't very inviting. And for a language that is a, like a Welsh language, that's the last thing it needs, is to have infighting from it.
Absolutely.
Anyone who's caught judging someone else's Welsh has to, it comes into law, and they have to, a part of the punishment for this is they have to dress up like Morris dancers and they have to wave Union Jack flags about, and that's for a week, no, for a month. And I reckon
that's the ultimate punishment for a Welsh person.
Yeah. Morris dancers and Union Jack flags, which would properly prop off a true blue Welsh person.
Oh, 100%.
And in that, you don't, so like we said, we went to the first ever Welsh language school in the Vale of Glamorgan, massively English speaking area, and it had its lots of different challenges, but one of the things was if you're caught speaking English, you'd get cosped, you'd get punished, you'd get, you know, detention, you'd get like loads of trouble.
I'm sure this wasn't unique to just our school, but in our comprehensive school, you had Pointe Claude and stamps,
which are like merits and demerits.
So yeah, merits and demerits essentially. And if you were caught speaking Welsh, caught speaking English, you could get a demerit point, you know what I mean? And it was very much
you get in trouble.
They came down on you like a ton of bricks, didn't they? You know,
literally the same. Really, they would say to you, we shared a school with Barry Boys. They said, "Oh, so you're trying to say sick? I'll tavly to dross a fence. If you speak in well English, I'll throw you over the fence myself." And that's what he used to say to us. He'd throw us over the fence, and we'd come down on you like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, because we were right next to an English speaking.
Yeah, but that causes you to resent a language when you're getting told 100%. Off next to it. So don't tell children off for speaking English. And I get that if you want to preserve the language in a Welsh language school, you've got to encourage Welsh speaking. Otherwise, it just becomes an English school.
Positivity trumps negativity all the time. You know, do the positive reinforcement as opposed to the negative punishment.
So,
speaking English.
Instead of associating Welsh with punishment, you should be given rewards for speaking it. And like children should be given like, you know, extra dinner time, whatever, if you're caught consistently speaking Welsh with your friends, and reframe it. So the more you use it, the better you get, rather than the less you use it, the more punishment you get. Because then you're like, oh, fuck it, I can't be arsed. If every time you build that like corollary of Welsh and punishment.
I remember getting annoyed in school because like sometimes we'd be chatting and we would be talking in Welsh because we knew our teacher was like Neo or whatever.
Yeah.
But you'd quote like a movie or quote you know, like a fucking pop culture reference of some kind, which is obviously going to be English. And yet you'd still get fucking dogged on for it.
Yeah.
And like that used to piss me off a bit because like do the Welsh are not allowed to reference things?
Yeah, that's as well. Yeah, you know? I can't acknowledge that there's another language. And I think, you know, me and you, if it's not evidence, massive advocates of Wales and the Welsh language, but it's just the way it's taught is fundamentally wrong, I think.
Did you see, because one of the points I made a very similar, I wrote notes here for saying the similar thing. Did you see recently, so there was this, she went viral as far as viral can go in Wales, I suppose, that Ruby Davis, she was a little girl competing in the Eisteddfod.
She was from
Llanelli, actually, because she had a great accent.
Yeah.
And if anyone's seen the video, it's very good.
It's really lovely.
It's very, very cute. She won a recital competition in the Eirth. The Eirth is like our... so you got the Eisteddfod, right? The big Eisteddfod's coming up in, what, a couple of months?
Yeah.
But then there's the Eirth Eisteddfod. It's kind of like more geared for kids.
Yeah, and the Eisteddfod's a poetry and literary festival. Yeah. The biggest in Europe.
That's it, yeah. And so she did like a recital in Welsh, and the category she was competing in was a recital for Welsh learners between year 5 and 6.
Yeah.
So she's a Welsh learner, right? And then she's from Llanelli, very south. And the presenter that was kind of talking to her is a gog. She's North Wales. And she was sort of semi-English, semi-Welsh talking to her. And she was saying at some point, it's a very cute video, isn't it? It's like, you know, she says, I'm so happy and all this sort of stuff about winning and all this. And she tries to ask her some questions in Welsh. To be fair, she's year 5 or 6. What are you there? Like 10? 10 years old?
Maybe less than that, even.
She's a 10-year-old. She's in front of a crowd of people, whatever. And at one point, she says, oh, I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because she's speaking Welsh to her. And now I was like, oh, it's a very cute video. But I looked at the comments on this video I saw. And you're still getting people going like, oh, it's a disgrace. She's at the fucking Eirth Eisteddfod. And she's not speaking Welsh. She doesn't understand Welsh and all that sort of stuff. And it's like, man.
Yeah.
A, she's in the fucking Welsh learners category.
Yeah.
You know? B, she's fucking 10 years old. Yeah, she's on stage in front of a million people. And also, to be honest, she is from Llanelli. Any Welsh she does know probably doesn't sound anything like what someone from North Wales would sound like. I mean, like, how many people have you spoken to in Welsh from North Wales? And even you, like, even I struggle with it sometimes if it's a really thick accent, you know what I mean?
And I saw comments as well saying, oh, why is that lady speaking Welsh to us? Like, well, it's a Welsh language festival, so she's doing it. And the interview is great. When she said, you know, she switched to English really quickly, and she'd say it in Welsh.
She's sort of spot on with it. Yeah. She can tell. Like,
but it's, to me, that video is a perfect example of how Welsh should be. Someone who's learning it gets to enjoy the celebrations and the fun and all that stuff, whereas usually the Eirth could be quite, maybe could feel exclusive. If you don't get the language, you don't get to join in. This late girl who's gone viral doesn't know the language amazingly, but did this fantastic like performance and then got to celebrate it, got to be on telly, got interviewed in Welsh and English.
The recital is fully
flawless.
In Welsh.
Yeah,
and don't get me wrong, she's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. And it's completely fine. The fact that she might not be totally 100% fluent,
but that's what it should be. That's what I'm thinking. If you want a language to be, if you want the country to be bilingual, which it is and it always will be bilingual, you have to have a halfway house, which we don't have at the moment. It's either you don't have confidence to speak any of it, or you don't like people who don't speak it 100% fluently.
Yeah,
and that's broad general strokes, but I mean that's kind of like how
and we're saying, you know, there's fucking knobheads on Instagram comments, you know what I'm talking about. And there are people that do this in real life as well, but they are few and far between. Don't get me wrong, they are, you know, it's not the bog standard, it is few and far between. But the fact that it exists does put people off. Like me and Amy went on a trip to North Wales last year, and I have been in Welsh education since fucking nursery, and I was nervous about speaking Welsh up there. Do you know what I mean? I did it and I felt great about it, and it was fine then. But originally I was nervous, and he was going, why are you feeling nervous? You have literally been in Welsh education since you were like 5 years old. Yeah. And it was like, shit, you know, why am I feeling nervous? Because you're worried that you're going to be judged because you're not getting it perfect.
And the language can, like we said this so many times, the language can often be too academic, and it's not. It thrives when it becomes organic and community driven. We've got Dr. Like Cry coming back on soon, so we'll hear his thoughts.
Oh,
on
that'd be a good
stuff.
Topic to bring out with him. Yeah.
What's your next one?
So another one I've got is a semi-serious one. This is just a quick fire one, mind though. Train route from south to north, or north to south, whichever way you want to look at it. Because for those who don't know, we can't get from the south of our country to the north of our country,
or the west
on public transport. Or you can get from south to west.
Well, you can't get to Aberystwyth. You can get to Carmarthen, and then
Carmarthen
has to go all the way to Shrewsbury.
Sorry, no, I mean, I was thinking you can get a bus, but train-wise...
No, you can't.
Train-wise, if you want to get up north or you want to get to west, you've got to go out of our own country. You've got to go into England.
Yeah, if I want to get from Cardiff to Aberystwyth, I have to go to Shrewsbury, and then and it's so long. and expensive.
And if you want to get up north, it's the same thing. Got to go to Shrewsbury, yeah. Switch at Shrewsbury, and vice versa. And I think it's absolutely staggering to me that we don't have a link. Go on.
We missed out on that £4 billion that Wales are meant to get through that.
Yes.
When England invests in its own infrastructures, Wales and Scotland and Northern Ireland should get a similar amount, and that's represented for them. And even though HS2, a single track wasn't going to be laid in Wales, Scotland got its fair share, Northern Ireland got its fair share, Wales didn't because they said it would benefit Wales despite not a single track being laid there. And then when it got cut shorter and shorter and shorter, they then said that they'd electrify certain rail routes and stuff, but nothing that anyone in Wales wanted. It was train lines between places that, the things we need is north to south, south to west, north to west.
To give, just for maybe our Yankee Doodle Dandy listeners, HS2, if you're not aware of it, is a multi-billion dollar fucking rail.
Ultra fast. Rails
project, ultra fast rail thing, and it was meant to be from the south and to connect the south and the north of England, basically. But the thing is, the money for that came from the whole pot of the UK, so Wales is putting into it as well.
They just use taxes
for bill.
It's just taxes in general. There's a formula they use that when they improve infrastructure in England, it'd be unfair if they just did that. They have to do it for all the other countries, and it equates to £4 billion because they spent so much money on HS2 and so little of it came to fruition. They cut it massively, which it was meant to connect loads of the north. It meant to be really fast. That all fell apart. But Wales is owed £4 billion, and they just won't do it. It's not like it's not a number plucked from the sky. This is the number that the formula would equate to, is £4 billion, and they just haven't given that to Wales. They said it's a Wales and England project, despite not a single track.
One of the main policies, isn't it, of Plaid now coming into the election. Yeah. And I'm so fucking up for that, because £4 billion could do so much good here.
Definitely.
And we got some fucking woeful
infrastructures,
public transport and infrastructure and stuff like that, and that could just change a lot of things.
So my quick fire one. I kind of said this earlier. When I said get rid of the Crown Estate, I'd also ban any royals being able to use Wales in their title. It's subjugatory, it's out of date, it's colonial, and it's wrong to give our name to a bunch of Nazi-sympathising nonces. No English royal is allowed to use Prince of Wales or anything like that.
You know what? It is actually... If you are a student of history, as we are, as anyone who listens to this pod is, you will know full well that the title Prince of Wales is not one that's earned. It's a subjugatory one. It's because they conquered us back in the day, and it's not cool. And yes, I agree.
Yeah.
No, you're not allowed to use that anymore.
So that's another quick one. Do you have another quick fire?
Mm-mm. That's me, mate. I'm
spent. All right, I'll go through. So another one of mine, no renaming any cottages or houses into English names. It erodes not only the language, but a sense of community and history. So like Mount Snowdon versus Rwyddfa in Welsh, the word is like etymological links to the great burial mound or grave of the giant Rhys y Gawr, who was slain by King Arthur, compared to being named after a Saxon word for snow dune. So it's, the Welsh words have a name for it.
It makes sense because it comes from our old tales, our old mythology, our history. Yeah, absolutely.
So no renaming cottages. They can't have there's some places. I just hate that when you buy a second home in Wales and you just rename it an English name and completely erode the communities and the power those things have. I also would help fund all my left-wing mad socialist ideas by don't have an army. We've become like Costa Rica. Yeah. So Costa Rica doesn't have an army. I think it has a police force and then an anti-drugs force. So no more paying billions for Trident. Just let England and the USA pick its fights with the countries it wants. We become isolationists. Plus, we'll help any migrants come in here, because people think migrants are bad. The UK is a massive issue with not enough workers, and we desperately need workers. Like, we were flying fruit pickers from European countries that we used to have free trade for, which we now pay their flights to bring them in, because we are having produce go moldy in fields because we didn't have enough people to pick them. in Wales specifically, we have a huge issue with care. Like, we have an aging population and not enough young people, and we have a real shortage.
A chunk of our care workers were migrants
overseas.
And
yeah.
Now because we had the fucking great idea of Brexit, don't get them as easy, and there's a huge, huge deficit.
Well, we said to Llanelli a few times tonight, but there's a care home in Llanelli where two of its care homes, big care homes, have to do further cuts to occupancy, so they can have less people there because it's become more and more difficult to hire overseas workers because no one else in the UK really wants to be. Well, that's not true. There's not enough people in the UK who want to be care workers. So we need to have people in. So we become an isolationist country. We continue a proud tradition of accepting refugees and looking after people who need help, and also assimilating them into the culture and getting them to work in the culture. People are going to fucking hate all these mad ideas, but
like we said, it's not a fucking podcast. Well, we really do what we
say. Wales is poor. We already broke. None of us are millionaires. So why not do something different?
I can already hear the screams of the people going, "Oh, we're going to afford that. We can't fucking afford anything anyway. We're fucking poor."
And
shit.
If things were going right, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But it is broke, so fix it. And obviously, these are like pretty mad ideas.
I do like that all of the serious points we've touched upon here. Essentially, I almost feel like we're going to lead to us going like, basically, fucking Anne above the Eyth. We want independence.
Give us independence.
Welsh independence. Give us independence. Let's fucking make our own choices. You know, people go like, people always say, "Oh, you can never last on your own." Blah blah blah. You know what? Us doing it on our own than in this shit show been on for the last fucking God knows how long.
Well, part of that, so every child should be taught Welsh history, so not English, not just English history, because we learned English royalty and Russian history, and crazy. Like, I went through two Welsh language schools and I didn't get taught anything really about Welsh history.
Hey, I was talking about this with my father-in-law, right? He was born in England, but he lived all his life essentially in Wales, right? And he was saying he learned about Glyndŵr, and that was kind of it when he was in Wales.
Yeah.
I think we in school, I remember learning about Glyndŵr and Llywelyn a little bit, but Llywelyn was like bit of his life, and Glyndŵr, his rebellion, right? But so many lessons. I remember days reading, listening to fucking things about Henry VIII.
Yeah.
It wasn't even so much about Henry VII.
No, I was going to say, because Tudors, it's not even Henry VII who was Welsh, but it's all about like the Victorians, Henry VIII, Russian history. It's like I did history as a degree in sixth form, and it was all Russian. I was like, who the fuck, why am I on about this? I don't understand why. Like, not only just like knowing where you're from, it's so important for a sense of what you are as a nation and knowing what's made you. Like, you know, part of why we do this podcast, we want to explore what's quite a dim-litted part of history, Welsh history, despite the fact, you know, it's been going for so long. But I think it's really important to cover the good and the bad. So not just to be jingoistic, but to like discuss how colonialism has benefited Wales.
Yeah. We touched on things like with in the war in England versus Scotland, you know, we were on the side of the bad guys in that. Exactly. We had been conquered, don't get me wrong, but we still did it.
And we're a product of colonialism. We've been colonialized, but we've also been, you know, like in Africa, you know, attacking the Zulus and stuff like that. You know, Wales has played its part in its own stuff. But I think knowing that is really important. And I think a big part of it, all British history isn't great at exploring its own stuff. And I think I bet 100 people, like thousands of people would agree with that I don't think enough UK history is taught. And if we talk
very
to each other.
England centric, isn't it?
Not even that. British, I don't think history. In England they learn an awful lot about their stuff. I think, you know, there's not.
Well, certainly not the bad. Yeah.
Yeah, not the bad, but also like the Blitz and stuff, you might get some things around there. But I think lots of English people who are really proud of their heritage don't. Feel frustrated that it's not a huge emphasis on, you know,
that's
like
true.
Saxon stuff.
I noticed with English people, they do seem to. It's kind of ironic, you know, a lot of the little Englander, if you like, you know, is like English and English is English and British is British, but they don't realise that England isn't something that has been around all that long in terms of history. Do you know what I mean? English is a it's like Anglo-Saxon, Norman.
It's a colonialized place in itself.
Yeah, exactly. And
but I also, I do feel ironic. But I feel bad for English people because those who aren't, and like, you know, often you see the English flag and you, it's kind of been hijacked by jingoists and right wing people who are get out of my country vibe, where people who just love history often don't. And lots of my friends who are really proud of being English, if you say that, you often get tarred of being a certain type of person. Whereas if I said I'm proud of being Welsh, you don't get the same tarage. But mate, in England, you do.
If someone says they're proud of being Welsh, I'd be like, absolutely, mate, I'm exactly there with you. Someone says they're proud of being English, I'd be like, oh, you're absolute scumbag, right wing, fucking Brexiteer.
Yeah, but which isn't fair at all. And
but it has been hijacked, isn't it?
Yeah.
You said it's been sort of co opted.
And I do think if you taught everyone's history, everyone in the UK's history, so if there was a module about UK history, so Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, and Ireland, I think you should include them, and England, I think there'd be a lot more understanding from each other. And I think that could be a good, like, education's always the key in all of this stuff. And I think that would be a teaching UK education, but an equal footing for all of the four nations plus Ireland would be a good step, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that one.
I'm going to do my quick fire ones now, my silly ones. So how to get Wales a more prominent place on the world stage? Wales, we should start a war. We should.
Yeah, you know what? A good war could do some good.
We could start a lot of fake news, like a big rumour mill that the Welsh government has claimed the rights to Papua New Guinea or Iceland. And see if that starts an international dispute, because I think we could have them in a fight. Iceland's only got 300,000 people. So I reckon we could ship
us over there and stomp out any dissidents.
I reckon Papua New Guinea people are quite hard, but they're so far away. I don't think we'd actually cross like
they got
paths.
Papa in their name,
Big Papa. But so I reckon if we start a war with someone, that'll get us on. And they'll be like, what, England started a war? No, it says Wales. No, what's Wales? Then they'll figure out what
we
Wales
say, listen,
is.
England ain't part of this, right? Yeah. Wales this has got beef with Papua New Guinea. Wales and Papua New Guinea, we've been at each other's throats for centuries, and now it's finally boiled over. Yeah.
So we could do that. Next one, become a big exporter of gangs and drugs. Because I don't really know what a Chechen is, or if a Chechen is even a country, but I've heard of them a lot because they have scary gangs. So it's like always a Chechen warlord. So if people in other countries don't know who Wales are, they say, oh, he's a Welsh warlord or he's a Welsh drugs runner. So
you know,
I reckon
he's a Welsh druggie, don't you? That, and then they go, what? And go, oh, have you heard about? Because you go, I don't know where Wales is, but I know they're bad.
I know Chechen warlord. I heard that phrase, but I don't know where that is or who they are. I think maybe like near Russia. But I think if we become a big gang exporter, that could help Wales get on the world stage.
Officially the Chechen Republic is a republic of Russia. So it's like a small bit of Russia, I guess.
Yeah, still not very clear, but we know about them.
Yeah, but if we start exporting like a shitload of cocaine or something like that, this is like Welsh white. We call it sheep's wool where we're from.
They call it the Brecon marching powder. My last one, every time Wales qualifies for a sporting tournament like the Euros or the World Cup, we do something fucking mad, like all the players commit harikiri or seppuku live on telly. So when we get...
when you qualify, you can't wait to get into that competition. Yeah. All the players fucking commit seppuku.
So where they get knocked down. So they play it until they get knocked down. So
okay. I was about to say that makes more sense. It doesn't make more sense. But that makes more sense than going, we just qualified, lads, right? Ready to kill yourselves? Let's go.
So we get to the end. So say if we get out of the group stages and then we lose the quarters.
Katana is officially part of our football uniform from now on. You can't; it's a religious thing, so you can't take it off us.
Yeah. And we have a great young squad. They'll go on to the pitch. Go fuck!
You've seen a fucking shogun that you see at the end is like, "I will end my line now." They get on their knees and just fucking stab themselves.
So I think that's quite a good way of grabbing attention. of the year.
Yeah, that'll certainly put us on the map. I would agree with that.
Yeah. So what do you reckon? What do you think of those? Also, I hope we haven't gone too hard on this being too serious, because I think I do care about politics and I do care about Wales. So sometimes
we've had a bit of both. We've had a bit of yin and yang, and we've talked serious stuff, but we've also talked about Wales sporting teams committing to puku if they if they lose. So we've got a bit of both. And also, as you've mentioned many a time before, this is our podcast. We can just talk about what we want.
Very true. And I don't want to alienate people. And I do want this to be a broad church. And like we said 100 times, if you're right wing, doesn't mean I dislike you. It's just if you're a certain type of right wing person, I fundamentally don't agree with you.
Yeah. Basically, if you're just if you're a knob, if you're an arsehole, I don't want to associate. And if you're an arsehole listening to this pod, maybe join the Patreon and we can fucking fleece you for some money, but but otherwise you don't have to listen, you know, you can bugger off. But I assume anyone who's here at this point is probably aligned somewhat.
Yeah, I'm sure you probably think a lot of our stuff is a bit bloody loony lefties. But yeah, I hope we take it with a pinch of salt. It's intended with you bastards. Anyway, Diolch yn gwrando, thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Ta-da. Ta-da, 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 ta-da.
That says